I am Linda van Tolberg, and with me is Darby Ritt from the Efficient Group. And he's, of course, an economist. And we're going to talk about what economists are expecting from this election and what investors should be looking out for. Hi, Darby Ritt. Thanks again for joining us at BizNews.
Thank you, Linda. Really nice talking to you.
Well, you just told me you've been with a lot of economists in talking about these issues. What are they thinking at? What are they looking at?
I would say there are three major issues, economic challenges in South Africa that the new government will have to attend to. The first one is the local authorities. Now, I know this is not a local authority election, but the local authorities, of course, the majority of them are financially just not viable anymore. So, and in the end, they will stand outside the Minister of Finance's door and ask for money. So the local authorities are a mess mostly, and the local authorities need to be fixed. One example is that the local authorities owe something like 80 billion rand to Eskom, and every month that increases by about 2 billion rand. So the local authorities is a major, major challenge. And perhaps the local authorities are the single most important authority because that is your first port of call. That's where you get the electricity or supposed to get the electricity and water and a pavement. Local authorities, challenge number one. Challenge number two are the state-owned enterprises. Now, we know the state-owned enterprises are a mess in South Africa. It's not only Eskom. Transnet recently is the most recent troubled child. The post office is just coming to an end. Just about all the state-owned enterprises have been run into the ground financially and operationally. And of course, that's going to cost a lot of money to fix those. And they are crucially important to the economy. The third one has to do with the national accounts. That is what the Minister of Finance is responsible for. Now, and again, I can give you all the numbers. The national accounts have become unsustainable. The debt levels have reached levels of, depending how you want to define that, but it's around about 75 and 90% of GDP, and it's increasing at a rate of about 3% annually, and that has become unsustainable. So those are the three major challenges that we need to fix. Of course, there are many other things, many other policy issues that we have to address, things like labor issues and trade issues and some international relations and that sort of stuff. But I think if you look at these three issues that I've mentioned, those are the most pressing issues that needs to be fixed by whoever is going to be in government. And of course, that really depends on the political mix going forward. Now, we know we've got the far left and we've got the far right, and somewhere in between, the ANC is probably going to will still be the biggest party in South Africa. With a bit of luck, we're going to see the ANC falling below 50%. With some bad luck, the ANC will fall too much and they will have to form a coalition with the far left. And that will be a very bad case scenario. But I would say the best case scenario for South Africa will be the ANC at around about 45%, forming a coalition with some of the smaller political parties slightly to the right of the ANC.
Well, if you look at financial markets this week, what are they anticipating?
Yeah, I think before we talk about the financial markets, and I think the financial markets are discounting a relatively good outcome. But there are three markets that I think are important to understand. The first one is the equity market. The JSE is probably between 30 and 50% behind similar markets in the world. So what I'm trying to say, if there's a good news story out there, potentially the JSE can go up, let's be conservative and say 20%. Maybe even 30%. So it's a very undervalued market, the JSE. So equities are very cheap in South Africa compared to other equity markets. The second one is the capital market. Remember, South Africa's capital market is very liquid, very well regulated, and the capital market can give you a return of about 10%, the yields of 10%, which is also very, very juicy. So a very good outcome in the elections can potentially lead to a capital market about 100, 200 pips again on the capital market. So that is the second potential market that can really react quite positive to a good outcome. The third one is the exchange rate of the rand. The rand, and recently the rand has been doing quite well, but the rand should be trading at about 17 or 17 and a half to the US dollar. It's trading well away from that. It's trading at higher than 18 to the US. Recently it came down quite a lot, or it appreciated quite nicely. But the rand could easily go to even 17 to the US. Now, imagine a good outcome, and we can talk about what a good outcome means, but imagine a good outcome, then, and you see the equity market is run by 20%, the bond market gaining 200 bips, the rand going down to 17 or 17 and a half, inflation will come down very, very sharply because of that, The Reserve Bank can start cutting interest rates, and that, without a doubt, is going to boost the economy. Not by much, because we've got other constraints. We do not have electricity and all that. But the change in sentiment can go a long way in boosting your economy. And the right political outcome after the elections can potentially lead to a very, very nice case, at least in the short term, a very nice financial market reaction, and eventually that will spill over to the real economy as well. And I think to an extent, the financial markets are slowly discounting a relatively good outcome, because we saw the JSE doing not too badly, the bond market doing, the rand also doing not too badly the last week or so. So, but those are the three markets where I think there are, let's call it, easy pickings, and the markets can really, really rally on a good outcome for the elections.
Well, some of the decisions that President Cyril Ramaphosa took looks like a typical election decision, like signing the National Health Insurance Bill. But one thing they have not been doing, they've not been printing money.
Well, the reason for that is that, the ANC is a horrible government. They've done unimaginable damage to the South African economy for a very, very long time. That signing of the NHI, and that's pure politics. The NHI is not going to happen for various reasons. There are legal issues here, and there's financial issues here, and there are capacity issues here. So the NHI is not going to happen. So this is just raw politics by the president. But your point about they have not been printing money, that is actually, we have to understand about politics. Well, not only in South Africa, worldwide, and that is, democracy, it's not political parties that keep democracy intact. It's the institutions in society, in the country. Those institutions, like, for example, the independence of the judiciary, the press, for example, civil society, those kinds of institutions are responsible for keeping democracy in check or in place or healthy. And those institutions in South Africa are actually quite healthy and quite active. And another institution that is also well protected and really survived an onslaught of the ANC is the South African Reserve Bank, the Central Bank. They are doing an excellent job. And in fact, recently there's been less pressure on the South African Reserve Bank than what I've expected. About 10 years ago, there were far more pressure on the South African Reserve Bank than what we have today. And I think we should thank Lesetša Kanyaku, the governor of the South African Reserve Bank, making sure that the Reserve Bank remains independent. So for that simple reason, they have not been printing money, because they do not have access to the printing presses. Their printing presses are under control of Lesetša Kanyaku. But it's not only the Reserve Bank, but many other institutions in South Africa remain actually quite robust and healthy in the country as well. And that's part of the reason why I'm actually quite optimistic about South Africa's democratic future.
Well, let's look at a couple of scenarios. Well, the first scenario you mentioned, that the ANC falls below 50% and managed to, you know, get a majority with some of the smaller parties. And the market seems to be thinking that is what's going to happen. Let's look at the worst case scenario. The ANC does really badly, or at 40%, and they have to jump into bed with something like the EFF. What would that do to the economy and to markets?
Well, that's going to be really bad news. So let's see how the financial market's going to react. I think if it becomes clear that the ANC is going to get, let's say, 40%, which means that they will have to form a coalition probably with the EFF. Let me just interrupt myself for a moment. Remember, the ANC or whoever does not need 50%. You need a majority. So any grouping or any political party that can have the most support can put a government together. You don't need 50% necessarily. If the ANC gets 40% and nobody else can muster 40%, then the ANC can still form a government. We have to understand that. It's a minority government, but they can still do that. So, but let's say they get 40%, then there's a possibility of another grouping forming, getting 40% as well, and then the ANC will be forced to form a coalition, say, with the EFF. Then I'm afraid all sort of bad things going to happen pretty soon. The bond market is going to bomb out, lose 100 to 200 pips. The rand's going to weaken, quarter 20, quarter 22 to the US. I don't know. Equity markets will fall even further and so on. But like I've mentioned earlier, those markets are very much undervalued already. And the financial markets in South Africa are very liquid and well-regulated. And unless this new government do something stupid, like stopping all capital flows, for example, unless they do something stupid like that, eventually there will be value. Eventually, foreigner is going to say, listen, but I buy cheap currency. I buy into a very liquid market at a very, very juicy yield. And then even in even with a very bad government, I think the financial markets will find a bottom somewhere, and we can actually see a bit of a bounce on the financial market. So financial market-wise will be a negative reaction, and then thereafter something positive is likely to happen, unless they do something really, really stupid. But unfortunately, for the real economy, that's a completely different story. The real economy is going to take a real nosedive. Already the real economy is not growing because of stupid policies and incompetence of government. And then we will actually have more of this. We will have more of the ANC and even more interference in the real economy and all the negative results and outcomes because of that. But the financial market's initial negative reaction and thereafter perhaps a bit of a bounce. But and maybe another piece of good news is that if the ANC gets 40%, then it's clear that we are in a transition phase in South Africa, and at the next general election, we're going to get rid of the ANC. So I think that's anyway what is happening. We are in this, and it's a very difficult time. It's a time of uncertainty. It's a time of transition, and it actually can be compared to what we went through in 1994, and we survived that. So I think the next 5 years is going to be quite difficult in any event, because it is a period, it is a transition period where we're getting rid of the ANC. Whether they're getting 45% or 40%, I think it's going to be very difficult for the ANC to necessarily be the biggest party in the next general election. I've got a suspicion what we are seeing is that slightly to the right of the ANC, there are some political groupings slowly coming together, and I won't be surprised if we see a slightly right of center political party taking over from the ANC, but we're probably going to have to wait another 5 years for that.
Yeah, can we look at the the opposition parties? We talked about the EFF on the left, but let's look at the opposition parties in the center, the new groupings that are coming together.
Yeah.
Do you think they would be able to affect economic policy going forward?
Yes. Let's just have a look at where ideologically where the small opposition parties, where they're standing. Now, the ANC, of course, maybe you can call them a centrist party because they are the governing party, depending on your definition, but I would call them a socialist party or even further left, a populist socialist kind of political party. And then, of course, a new MK party, that's a weird party. They've either far from to the left or far to the right, depending on how you look at that. And then the same goes for the EFF. They're far left, Marxist kind of party, but they're also far right. They are kind of a fascist party as well. But so if the MK party or the EFF or even some of the other far left-wing parties form a coalition with the ANC, then the whole thing is going to move to the left, which will be bad. But the majority of the opposition parties are actually to the right, ideologically, of the ANC. If you're talking in Inkatha, for example, economic policy-wise or ideology-wise, are slightly to the right of the ANC. The same goes for the Patriotic Alliance. The same goes for Action South Africa. The same goes for the Freedom Front Plus. The same goes for the Democratic Alliance. All those parties are to the right of the ANC. And that's why I say it's a very good scenario if the ANC gets 45%, because it will be relatively easy for them to cobble together a government with the smaller political parties, shifting them a little bit more to the right, firstly, and secondly, forcing them to share power with some of those slightly to the right political parties. Give away some of the ministries, hopefully the Ministry of Finance, for example, and a couple of other ministries to some of those opposition, smaller political parties, which are ideologically a little bit to the right of the ANC. And that's why the financial markets are reacting positive at the moment, the last couple of days or weeks, because that is what the financial markets are actually anticipating.
Can I just look at one other scenario before you go? What if President Ramaphosa doesn't get the majority that the ANC wants and they kick him out and we have a new president? Paul Mashatile, how would the markets react?
That's going to be a bad case scenario. In fact, I actually believe the president is not going to be around for much longer. And there are a number of reasons why I say so. One is that typically what happens that if the ANC loses a majority, they're going to have to point fingers to somebody, and the guy that they're going to point fingers to will be Ramaphosa, and he's going to get kicked out. There are some other reasons why I believe he's going to be kicked out as well. One is that I think that there will be an ANC-EFF coalition in Gauteng, and we know that Cyril Ramaphosa and the EFF, they are not the best of friends. So I think there will be pressure from the EFF in Gauteng to put pressure on Ramaphosa to be kicked out as president of the ANC and therefore president as well. So that leaves us with some possibilities. Paul Masicili is certainly a possibility. There are some other guys as well. Wery Mantashe is a possibility as a potential president as well. And a couple of other ones as well. I think, for example, of Lamola as a possible deputy president, not president, but a possible deputy president. Don't underestimate Fikile Mbalula. He's also in the running for one of those two top positions. But I think what's going to happen in practice is that you're going to have, say, you get a 45% coalition with the smaller, slightly to the right political parties. I think what we're going to find is that the Speaker of Parliament is going to be an opposition member, while the ANC will be in a position where they can appoint a president, while the opposition parties could appoint a deputy kind of president. And I guess that's the best kind of scenario, is that those top three positions can, either one or two of those top three positions can potentially be appointed by the opposition, whoever are going to be in, well, the coalition partners. And that is actually not a bad scenario. Remember, there are other very important positions as well, like mineral and energies. That's a very important one. Who's going to be in charge of the state-owned enterprises, for example? Those are many other important ministries as well. But I've got, I think what we're going to see is let's not call it a government of national unity, but I think the opposition parties will try to vote for somebody else as the Speaker of Parliament, for example, including the EFF, by the way. Even if they're not part of the coalition, just despite the ANC, they might vote for another Speaker of the of Parliament, just despite the ANC, because we know that the EFF doesn't like the president, for example. So there's a lot of fun, I think, waiting to happen in the next couple of weeks in South Africa. But it's a good kind of stuff, mostly, I would say. And the best of all of this is that the ANC is losing power. And also what is important is that we've got a vibrant and a strong democracy in South Africa, and everybody still trusts the electoral system in South Africa. And I think that's another institution that keeps democracy alive in South Africa. So we went through a difficult time 30 years ago. We're going through a difficult time now. But I trust democracy, and I think let's not be scared of a democracy. We're gonna pull this through as well.
Dobby Rich from the Efficient Groups, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.